I've taken an entire year's worth of biology curriculum and compiled it into 40 video lectures for you. The video series covers every single NGSS life science standard, and it's available exclusively for you on teacherspayteachers.com. Link is in the description. So again, if you or somebody you know would benefit from this, spread the word.
Okay, so what evidence do you have that life came from non-life, like through a chemical process or whatever?
That's the way life works.
No, so I'm saying like in the beginning. So like,
yeah, I know.
In the beginning, there had to be nothing. No trees, no grass, no single cell organisms, no nothing.
Yeah, there would have been atoms and molecules undergoing chemical transformations, and that's what life is. I don't see how the idea that the origin of life would have been different than its operation is nonsensical. But also, we have found every biological molecule associated with, for example, like DNA and every amino acid. We have found all those types of molecules in space junk, like in asteroids. We find them on the Earth where there is no life. They naturally and organically arise. We have found the precursor types of metabolic reactions that power all cells, the Krebs cycle. We find that in nature, sitting there doing its own crazy little thing. So we have no theory of abiogenesis. We have many different hypotheses, but, I'll just stop there so I don't rant for too long.
Okay, so have we ever witnessed a single cell come about through these processes that you say, which I have never personally heard of, like amino acids and the Krebs cycle in the natural world, but say that's true. Have we ever seen that become a single cell, like in our 2,000 years of recorded history?
We've never made a life from scratch, but we've put together molecules that self-replicate and even compete in a Darwinian sense against other types of molecules. So we've seen that type of thing happen before.
Okay, so my question for you is, why is it reasonable to believe, if we've never witnessed it happen through random processes, and we can't even, with the intellects that we have, and as far as we've progressed, we can't even create a single cell from these natural processes that you say are found, like basically the building blocks of a cell. If we can't even produce a cell with our intellect, how is it logical to believe that those things happened on their own?
You mean that they happened naturally? Because I don't know.
Like that
nothing,
a cell
nothing
was formed.
Can't happen on its own.
Well, I'm saying how is it reasonable to believe that a cell came about on its own when we can't even reproduce that?
Sure. I mean, there's tons of things we can't reproduce. We can't make black holes or anything like that. We can't recreate the sun, although we have achieved fusion for like brief nanoseconds or whatever it is. But that's not, this is kind of like classic argument. And you're not really taking a stance, although I'm pretty sure I can guess what your alternative explanation is. But this is kind of classic argument from ignorance. I don't know, and you don't know. Therefore, I believe it was this thing. What evidence for that do we have?
I agree with you that I can't prove the other alternative. Mm-hmm. But in my experience, I don't find it reasonable to believe that life can come from non-life because we can't produce that.
Well, but that's literally what life is.
But also you said black holes, for example, like a black hole is like a physics phenomenon that is like so beyond our realm of understanding, whereas like a single cell is not. We understand pretty well.
I would say we understand black holes far better than we understand
how the brain works. How about producing a black hole?
Yeah.
I don't think
we do. Physicists predicted the existence of black holes purely by looking at the mathematics of general relativity and saying, hey, wait a minute, if a star is this big, then when this happens, it'll create the problem they found was they get infinity in the numerator or denominator. I don't remember which one. And they said, well, that would just create they didn't know what to think. And I don't know who came up with the term black hole or whatever. I think it was this Indian physicist, actually. I don't remember his name, but that idea, that concept had been around for an extremely long time. And Penrose and Hawking made a bunch of advancements on our understanding about them. We got the first indirect evidence of them from X-ray satellite imagery. And that was like in the 60s or 70s. I don't remember exactly, but no, like we like purely like almost in a conceptual manner, we calculated that these black holes ought to exist. And then later on we found them. So I don't remember what you said, but we actually understand black holes very well. It was the way they formed. We understood the way they formed way ahead of time.
Yeah, I'm not a physicist, so yeah, I didn't know that. But I just really think, I mean, maybe my argument isn't based so much in... Hang on, Dad. Sorry. But yeah, back to my argument is I just really, like, we understand the cell very well, in my opinion. And if we know all of the building blocks of a cell, why can't we produce a living cell?
Because we have no idea how to put those building blocks together to make it actually work as a chemical system.
Okay, yeah, true. And so there is where I draw the conclusion that, you know, it must have had a creator because we can't produce it with our intellect. So why is it reasonable to believe that just happened miraculously? And we can get off of this.
I mean, like we can create, we can like literally create lightning in a bottle with like arc lamps or whatever. I mean, people believed that volcanoes erupted or when lightning struck or whatever, people believed that was supernatural intervention because the phenomenon is beyond our comprehension. It isn't anymore, but it was. But also B, another big thing was people refused to believe that nature could be pointless and cruel. Like the volcano, it killed so many people. Why on earth would that happen? There has to be a reason that happened. And turns out the reason that happens is because of pyroclastic flow and steam that builds up inside of a magma reservoir. But they thought, no, there has to be a reason why it happened, like teleologically. Turns out there isn't. And it's the same thing with lightning. Sometimes lightning would, I don't know, hit Grandma May and she got barbecued right then and there. Why would that happen? Oh, it's because she was a witch or because, like, I don't know, what, because we didn't repent enough or things like that. Now with life, yeah, I mean, like in the future, maybe we will figure out a way to put it together and create the first real artificial life, or it'll be indistinguishable from and some other random form of life on this planet. But just because you don't understand doesn't mean it's a miracle, because lightning was never a miracle at any point. And our ignorance about it is not a valid justification for drawing that conclusion.
That's a good argument, but lightning happens all the time. Life is not created all the time. So like the probability... So like, okay, say you can put a probability on life occurring, you know, like, because like all the same stuff's here as there was when life first occurred. Has to be right, because you're talking about the law of conservation of matter, which yeah, that's a whole nother, like that, there has to be one exception to law of conservation of mass and energy, because otherwise the universe couldn't exist. So that has to be the one exception to that law. But, yeah, that's kind of beyond the scope of our argument at the moment. But, I kind of lost my train of thought. But, yeah, the probability of a cell getting produced naturally is, like, has to be infinitely small because we have not witnessed it. We can't even create it artificially. So, like, what's more – to me, it seems more probable that there is a all-powerful being than – this thing happening miraculously Like, because the probability is so infinitely tiny.
Yeah, like, but the problem with that is, if we're going to talk about probabilities, then you have to give me a calculus. And there's no calculation to this. You're just saying that we can't figure out how the other thing happened. So how am I supposed to weigh probabilities in this case? I can't do it with the alternative.
Well, I mean, you can with time. So it's only happened once in all of recorded time. So there's your probability. I mean, it's not in probably the right metrics. Wait,
are you saying the probability is 100%?
No, I'm saying it's happened once. And then so we have progressed this long. There is – I'm not a freaking mathematician. But I'm saying if something has happened once over the course of a million years or a billion years or whatever, however old you think the Earth is, then its probability is obviously smaller than, say, lightning strike.
That's just the odds of a thing happening, not the odds of is it more likely to have come from this or that.
No, true, but I'm saying
I don't know I don't know how to do the calculation for how did it happen naturally, but it's theoretically doable. But for a miraculous event, it's even in principle unknowable. So we can't say it's more likely. That's just very flawed. There's no way to do that.
I mean, to me, it seems more logical than that's the case. And I mean, we're obviously not going to agree on that.
Sure.
And I mean, it's kind of like just explaining why I think that's more logical.
It's kind of like imagine there was a soccer game that happened, right? And I told you, let's say it's the United States versus, are you from the United States?
I am, yeah.
Okay, what country do you hate?
What country do I hate?
Yeah, other than France.
Other than France. We'll go North Korea.
North Korea, that's good. So it's United States versus North Korea. And I tell you that North Korea scored no goals. Who won the game?
Obviously, it's a tie, right?
Well, we don't know.
All I told you was
North Korea scored no goals. Who won the game?
Okay, yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Could have been a tie. Uh-huh. Maybe we scored a goal. Maybe we forfeited, which means they won. They scored no goals and won, right? So this thing about, well, if we don't know, it's not a perfect analogy, but I think it kind of gets the point across. How life did it, I don't know. But that doesn't mean that the other side scored any points. That you don't score points by the other team not scoring points. It's not how a burden of proof works. That's not how an argument works. That's not how probabilities work. I guess you could kind of argue that might be how probabilities work in some cases. But I don't know. I'm not a math magician.
Yeah, me either.
I tried to have ChatGPT write a parody of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, and I changed it to Grandma Got Struck by Lightning. It's not very funny, though.
Yeah, okay, then let's shift gears to a different, I think a hole in evolution. So, if evolution, so the theory of evolution states that we started from single cells, those eventually developed into multiple cells, and then eventually the organisms we have today, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so why do we not see any, like, three-celled organisms, four-cell, five-cell? It's either one or it's millions.
Right. Well, that's not really true because we do see small there are some animals that are literally only a couple hundred cells big, but like the idea that this is, I don't really get why people say this. If there are multicelled organisms, then there are unicellular organisms, then what had to have happened next was the two-celled organism had to evolve. And then the three cell and the four cell, and that's right, just not the case. There's nothing in there that says it has to progress through every single possible iteration of because humans have different numbers of cells. There's no such thing as like you hear the most typical number I see when I look this up is 37 trillion, but that's obviously an average. It's not like every single human has exactly 37 trillion cells.
At that point, you have so many that it's like irrelevant. I'm just saying like smaller numbers. So like if we still have single cell organisms, then there should be some kind of backtrack to get to that single cell. And there's really not. It's just trillions or it's like one.
That's,
you know,
that's not really the case. C. elegans. Let's see. How many cells does C. elegans have? There's this model organism, C. elegans. It's a type of flatworm or nematode. Yeah, it's a nematode. And it has exactly, males have 1,033 cells and hermaphrodites. Well, that's weird. So they're either hermaphroditic or male. That's odd. So we know how many cells they have, and it's right in the neighborhood of like 1,000, right? So anyways, getting back to the point, there's really no reason to say that in order for an organism that's made of millions of cells to exist, it has to go through every possible, or it has to step up from a one cell difference every time. Because first of all, that's not the way virtually any organism works. There are a few very simple multicellular organisms that appear to almost always have the same number of cells. That's a really weird case, like the C. elegans. Like for humans, I already said this earlier, but we don't have exactly this number, right? Also, I kind of already said this, but there's no reason to think we have to go from 2 to 3 to 4. That just doesn't really make a lot of sense. But even if it was the case that that must be, we know that extinctions happen, right? So if organisms evolve, then you should absolutely expect that in nature today, we don't see every iteration of everything that's ever existed, because organisms that have evolved, that necessitates the fact that what they evolved from went extinct. Not every single time you can coexist with your parent species or whatever, but it's very much not typical. So, yeah, there's no reason to think the evidence would still be around, because it could get destroyed or lost in the fossil record or whatever. Organisms have to change over time, so we wouldn't expect them to be around today anyways. And it's just kind of a faulty assumption in the first place that that progression must occur.
I mean, that progression must occur in some sense. I'm not saying it goes necessarily from 2 to 3 to 4. But like at one point, humans or whatever form we were obviously weren't humans, but we had to have been like, there had to have been some sort of progression. We didn't go from 10 to a billion. There's no way.
Like, yeah, I agree.
That's just not how the natural world works.
Yeah, we kind of see that in the fossil record too, though, because like 500, 600 million years ago, we find the first really, really simple like animals, for example. And they're much smaller. They would still be many.
They're still equally complex as they are now.
No.
They have a digestive tract and a circulatory system and all of those things like we do now.
Nope. I mean, they lacked almost any sense organs.
Okay, I'm sure those existed, but I still think there was equally complex animals as far back in the fossil record as you can go, as there are now.
No, that's totally not the case.
How is it? Okay, give me an example. How far back do you have to go for that to not be true?
It's a long time. It's like 500 million years, but like Dickinsonia. Don't laugh. That's its name, Dickinsonia. It's literally just a flat mat of like repeating segments. No, maybe it had some kind of mouth. I don't know if those details are preserved, but no real sense organs whatsoever. It had bilateral symmetry, but it didn't have like specialized body parts really in any way. So, yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, it's D.
Hey, so just real quick, we have kind of, in a sense, created smaller-ish life in like brain organoids that are being used. They were made with stem cells. It's in a Nature.com article. We've officially made like a learning computer from organic materials in a lab. So the idea that we couldn't create life from nothing because we have the compounds necessary to do it, we have and we are.
You just said they're made of stem cells, though, right? So that kind of defeats that argument.
Not really, in the sense that, you know, you could make stem cells from scratch, but why would you waste the time? It's the same way, like...
We can't make stem cells from scratch. That's not a thing we can do.
I would argue that if the chemicals exist and you could organize them in the same way, they could in theory. The same way,
if you could make,
like,
stem cells from scratch, we would be doing it, I promise.
You don't know the cost that that would be. It might be more cost effective to use existing stem cells. In research, there's a thing called a budget.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but, I mean, the argument that we created life from nothing is just not true. I mean, if you create from stem cells, then that's creating life from life.
Okay. I could argue that, like, I could make a pizza from scratch, or I could buy a frozen pizza. It's the same logic, man.
But you're creating
And I would also posit to you that stem cells, not alive. Are they?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
How so?
In the same way that a single-celled organism is alive.
So you're saying that when I cut my thumbnail, I'm removing a living thing.
Your thumbnail is not alive, no.
But it's made from the same cells as my body is made out of.
It's made from dead cells.
Okay, sure. If I cut my finger off, because my finger isn't dead, is it? My finger heals.
Yeah,
grows,
I mean, it will eventually die. It will eventually die, but the
everything
you cut
eventually
it off,
dies, kid.
The instant you cut it off, your thumb, your cells are still alive in your thumb. That's why they put it
on
the ice.
And I'm saying if I have stem cells in a petri dish, it's not alive.
It is alive by every metric that constitutes something alive. There is no scientific argument that cells are not alive. That doesn't exist. Everyone agrees on that.
So
I agreed once
so
that
how
seeds
do you,
aren't
how
alive,
you,
but that's
yeah,
that's
how,
different.
How do you determine what do you, I guess the question would be then, what do you use to determine life? What is alive to you?
Anything that is able to react. I mean, you can look up the list. Like, there's a list for this, but it's like react to stimuli.
I know, but for the purposes of this conversation, for the purposes of a debate, we need to agree on terms.
Okay.
What do you consider alive for the purpose of the conversation we're having now?
Modern science determines a cell alive. That is, I'm not a biologist. I don't know what constitutes
right, but
why
you're the
that's
one
alive.
Who's making the claim that it's, you're the one who's making the claim
why
that it
a cell is
alive,
alive
by every metric.
Answer. Google why a cell is alive and you'll get your answer.
The burden of proof isn't on me. I'm not claiming it's alive.
Okay, well, let me look
I'm
it
gonna,
up then.
I'm going right. to interrupt and moderate here because this is my live stream. So I don't want to get into a debate about what is or isn't alive and characteristics of life, I wouldn't say, or the definition of what alive is. But 243, what was the original thing you came up here to say? We can take stem cells and create a what?
So they're called brain organoids is what they're calling them. They're using them primarily in place of like microprocessing computer chips. From stem cells, and the problem is that they don't last very long because they don't have a circulatory system or a respiratory system, so they do tend to die in like a day or two. But it has created what is effectively a learning computer, a functional brain in a petri dish from stem cells.
That's creepy and awesome.
Yeah, if you want to look up about it, there's a nature.com article about it. Yeah, it's like every dystopian nightmare story's like first couple of articles.
Huh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, I just thought it was neat. If no one had heard of it, it's the idea that we absolutely can do that in a dish. But that was the main point I came on here to bring up.
I think it's okay. Super interesting, but your argument that the stem cells we're creating life from non-life is not true.
Well, he's gone. We'll have to litigate that at a different time.
I think you would agree with me. You just don't want to.
That stem cells are alive? Basically, yes. I mean, is a stem cell a human being? Well, that's kind
of... No, I'm not arguing that.
Right.
Well, yeah, but they're alive in the same way a plant is alive. I'm not saying they're sentient.
Like, in a way, yeah, but at the same time, a stem cell, if you could implant a stem cell in a uterus, would it just form a fully formed organism at that point? Maybe, no, but probably not.
No, it wouldn't. A stem cell is like the same as any other cell in your body. It just has the ability to turn into muscle or bone or fat or whatever. That's the only thing that makes a stem cell different from any other. No, that's what a stem cell is.
Kind of. There's, oh my God. There are different types of stem cells. There are totipotent and pluripotent stem cells, and different parts of your body have different types of stem cells. Like in your bone marrow, you have what's called a hemocytoblast, which is it's a stem cell, but it can only turn into other blood cells. There's just different levels of stem cells. That's all I'm saying. I don't really want to argue that point. I don't remember what we were talking about.
I don't either. But I'm about to have to go.
Okay, that's fine too.